Before I introduce our guest speaker, Lou Ann Sowers, I wanted to exhort us in the word briefly. I was reading through the scriptures this week, and I came across Philemon, the letter from the Apostle Paul to Philemon, and I began to consider through the Holy Spirit some of the statements that were made, and I just want to submit this to you for your thoughts and your prayers. The phrase that really caught my attention, and this is, if you recall, the letter to Philemon is just one chapter. The opening verse from the Apostle Paul, who at this time was a prisoner in a Roman prison, and he wrote to Philemon, it states, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, quite possibly Philemon's wife, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and then this phrase, the church in your house. Simply, the church in your house. And that's what caught my attention. Now, there's phrases like that throughout other epistles, but in my studies of Philemon over the years, I am not convinced that he was like Timothy or Titus, a church leader. More than likely, he was a believer in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul is appealing to Philemon because one of Philemon's servants, slaves, had run away, if you know the story, and had ended up in prison with the Apostle Paul in Rome. And the Apostle Paul leads Onesimus, Philemon's slave, to the Lord. And now the Apostle Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon as a brother in Christ. But Paul makes this statement to Philemon, who was a believer and also a slave owner in this culture. And he says to him, the church in your home, your house. And I want to ask you to pray about this. How many of us here own an apartment or a home or a condominium? You have some shelter, right? The church in your home. Whether you're a pastor, Christian leader, I want you to view your place as your church. Is it a place where God is welcome there? Is it a place where you sense his presence, where you want his presence in your home? Is your home the church where you are reaching out to people? It's a place of prayer. It's a place where you use it for hospitality, for other believers and non-believers to be welcomed into your home. Is it a place to evangelize the church in your home? I just feel like we need to be considering that, whether you're single or a married person, or you have a young family, this is your flock, this is your church. How will you use this? And how will you use your influence to further the kingdom of God? It should be a holy place, a place where God is welcomed. We don't just wait for Sunday to gather together, but throughout the week, God is there with you. And you have your flock, whether it's one or two people or your neighbors when you bring them in. This is your flock. Use your influence. And Philemon here was using his influence to further and strengthen the church. In Romans chapter 16, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Christians in Rome, mentions Gaius, who is host to me and the whole church. Use your homes, your house, to be the church of Jesus Christ. You know, I think of Wenz and Alonzo. I dropped off Wenz there at his small place there. They're two single guys living there. But this you should view as your church and an opportunity to further the kingdom of God there. So give that thought and pray about that this week. And let's use whatever means God has given us to further the kingdom of God, to make disciples, to evangelize. Hospitality. You don't have to have a great home to be able to invite people in and share bread with and evangelize and pray. Amen? Amen. Thank you for hearing me out on that. It is with a great joy that we introduce to you our special speaker, Lou Ann Sowers, from Ivy Women's Center on Tyler Boulevard in Mentor. I've gotten to know Lou Ann over the last couple of years. We've prayed together a few times at her place, where she opens it up to pastors in the area to come together and pray for the center and to pray for the churches. And I was introduced to Lou Ann through a good friend, Lee Jiraki, years ago. Our church has, as many of you know, been very supportive of the pro-life movement. This is very much hands-on. And we're partnered with Ivy financially, also prayerfully. And I've asked Lou Ann to be able to give us an update today on how we can continue to be praying for the center and her, the pressures that they're under. So Lou Ann, would you all help me welcome Lou Ann with us today?
Well, good morning. Thank you, Pastor Greg. I did want to mention that song, The Heart of Worship. I love that. And it's just such a good reminder that no matter what we do, it can be an act of worship to God if it's all about Him. And so I just pray that this, what I have to share with you, will be an act of worship to Him, because it is all about Him. So again, thank you for inviting me back. I believe that the last time I spoke here, it was right before we opened, about a year and a half ago, a little more than a year and a half ago. And I know that some of you have been to Ivy, you've seen it, you've been to our banquets. As a congregation, as Pastor Greg said, you and some individuals support us financially and in prayer. And I just want to say thank you so much. We could not do this work without your partnership in those ways. I do want to start by just giving a brief overview of our services, just in case there's anyone here that's never heard of Ivy or heard what we do. So we want to be the first place a woman calls when she's experiencing an unintended pregnancy, and in particular and especially when she's considering abortion. Now, we are clear, and I want to be clear to you, and we are clear to her, that we do not do abortions and we do not refer for abortions. But what we do is we offer services that are very critical to her before she makes any pregnancy decision. So we offer ultrasounds and STD testing and treatment. In the state of Ohio, even with the current laws, an ultrasound is still required prior to any termination services. But to us, it's not just about what the law says. It's really about what's best for her, and it's about reaching her heart. So she needs these services to make sure that, number one, it's even a viable pregnancy. With 1 in 4 pregnancies ending in natural miscarriage, she wants to make sure that it's a viable pregnancy before she takes any next steps. Wants to make sure that it's not an ectopic pregnancy where a termination service can actually be life-threatening. So we offer that service as well as, like I said, STD testing and treatment, and we offer those free of charge. But in addition, when she comes to Ivy, she finds a safe space to talk about her circumstances, many of which are incredibly, incredibly difficult. And oftentimes, we're the only ones that she feels safe sharing with. She feels safe because we don't judge her, we don't shame her, and we don't pressure her. She's shown the love of Christ, and she's listened to without that shame and condemnation. Now, if you'd like more details on the services that we offer, or better yet, like to come and see it yourself, we'd love to set up a tour with you. You can come and experience what she does when she comes. But for now, I want to share with you some of the results. Like I said, we've been open a little over a year and a half. And in that time, I want to share with you some of the results that you have actually helped to make possible. 223 babies who were at risk of being aborted have been given a chance for life. 223 in just a little over a year and a half. In addition, 27 women have been referred to our Door of Hope program to find healing after having an abortion. So we do provide support after they've aborted, whether they've come to us or it's somebody that hears about us from the outside. If they've experienced abortion, we do offer support in that way as well. 98 moms have been referred to our parenting program to receive support and coaching. 24 patients have been referred to our discipleship program. And we've had the opportunity to plant seeds of God's love through spiritual conversations with over 460 women. Even as many of these women found themselves in what they believed to be unforgivable circumstances. Now, I did bring a special treat for you. I know that if you were at our banquet in April, you heard Emily's story, but I think this will probably be new for most of you. Just a brief background. Emily came to us as a teen, pregnant, and she actually wanted to have the baby, but she was experiencing tremendous pressure from those around her to abort. We do thank God that she found us first. I dread to think what would have happened had she gone to an abortion facility first. So I'm going to let her tell you her story.
My name is Emily, I'm 17, and I live in Northeast Ohio. When I first found out I was pregnant, I knew I wanted to parent, like, right away. Some of the challenges I faced were definitely being in high school still, so I was doing remote school online, but I was only a junior, so I had to finish my junior year, and then I had her my senior year. And I had a lot of pressure to get an abortion being 16 in high school. I remember going to my therapist and being really upset and scared, but wanting to parent still. And she should have been supportive of my choice of parenting, and she wasn't. She was very pro-abortion for me. She offered to call Planned Parenthood with me and set up an abortion, and I, of course, denied. But she would always just tell me how, like, I could still get an abortion, even though it would be like later and later, and that was just like her main focus in that. So there were also some people that were threatening me if I didn't get an abortion. I felt pretty alone. Even though the pressure and threats didn't change my mind on getting an abortion, it was still definitely mentally challenging. I got a hold of this super sweet lady that I knew and trusted, and she helped me get an appointment with Ivy. I remember when I first walked into the Ivy Center, I just remember thinking, like, is this a spa or am I in the right place? The best part of the appointment for me was definitely, like, seeing her little arms and legs and hearing and looking at her heartbeat and just seeing, like, a real baby in there. Like, that was pretty cool. When we were done with the ultrasounds, I went to the bathroom and I just remember, like, looking at the mirror, like, looking at my stomach, like, so excited that there's, like, a whole heartbeat in there and it's not even mine, like, it's my baby's, and it's just so crazy. The advocate being so on board with me being 16 and wanting to parent and not making it seem like it was totally crazy of an idea was, like, very, very comforting. The nurse was super supportive as well, and she was explaining to me, like, this is the yolk sac, and this is the baby, and this is the heartbeat, and she showed me the whole thing, and she let me hear the heartbeat, and I just remember, like, looking at the heartbeat, and I just started, like, crying a little. Like, I just felt so, like, wow. So they had a lot of information to give. They had, like, a lot of pamphlets and brochures and papers and people to refer you to and everything. At the end of my appointment, the advocate gave me the parenting class information, so I signed up with those. And immediately, I started the classes. The parenting classes were very helpful, especially being 16, because no one else really took me, like, serious in being a mom. So, like, when I went to the parenting classes and the parenting coach acted like, or treated me like I was a mom, like an actual mom trying to do the whole parenting thing, that just made me feel like, all right, I got this. She was very helpful, very welcoming and understanding and supportive of even me being so young and everything too. And I remember it just stuck out to me that she asked if we could pray at the end of the appointment, and she prayed for me and the baby's health, and it was just really sweet. So I went in to get induced around 39 weeks in one day. Everything was good. And then I think I was like 5 centimeters dilated at this point. And then the nurse leaves to go get the doctor. She came in to pop my water, and they did a cervical check, and I was only like 1.5 centimeters. So my OB came in and saw that I wasn't progressing any when she came in to pop my water. So she brought in the ultrasound machine, and they went under my rib, and it was my daughter's head. So they knew that she flipped, and they offered a version, but there's some risks or whatever. So it was an unexpected C-section. I remember just thinking like a million and one thoughts while I was having the C-section, like so stressed and scared and nervous and passing out. And then right when she came out, all I could just think was like, I just want to hold my baby. Like all those thoughts just stopped, and it was just focused on like, give me my daughter. I was just in shock. Like I just remember like, I'm always thinking thoughts until like I saw her and there was just nothing. I was like, wow, like that was just it. Like I was just looking like, that's it. Yeah, I don't really know. I didn't have a whole bunch going on. I just wanted to hold her. Like, that was just all I was thinking about. Like, I just want to hold her right now. It felt like all the struggles and talk down twos and pressure for all of that was just like, ugh. It didn't even matter anymore. Like, I was holding my baby.
So this is my daughter, Aaliyah. She was born November 18th. My favorite thing about her is her big smiles. I would recommend the Ivy Center for someone in my situation because they're so unbiased in their education and everything, and they're very supportive of whatever you want to do, like especially parenting. After my daughter was born and we were still in the hospital, my parenting coach came and visited me with a big bag of clothes and diapers and bibs and stuff. I also really appreciated how they would call me, just like checkup calls throughout my pregnancy and even after delivery, just to see how I was and how I was feeling, so that felt pretty good, just to know that they still kind of cared or wanted to know how I was. There were some times where we would talk like almost every day, and she did help me through a lot of just drama and trauma in my life. I would definitely like to thank the donors for everything they give to the Ivy Center because it helps the advocates and nurses there impact a lot of women in my situations and others, but it just gives them such good hope and a great foundation for the rest of their parenting or choices.
So what a joy it is to be able to share with you the blessings that we've seen over the past year and a half. But I also need to share with you some of the challenges that we've been experiencing. And I need to ask you to pray as to help us continue to navigate these. Your prayers are necessary to be able to continue to provide pregnant women with access to real care and real options. So you may be familiar with some of the events that have happened over the past several months. However, you might not be aware of how they've affected us and our ability to serve women. In May, again, as you may know, there was a leak regarding the decision of the Supreme Court in the Dobbs case. This fueled a series of physical and verbal attacks and threats of attacks on pregnancy centers around the country. With elections this week, there is concern that these attacks and threats will intensify. In June, the Supreme Court decision was announced to overturn Roe v. Wade. This meant that the laws regulating abortion were now pushed back down to the state level. And that same day, the Ohio Heartbeat Bill went into effect. This was a good day. However, one of the unintended consequences of that was that women were now more panicked and out of fear. And because of that shorter window of time to figure out what they truly wanted, many rushed into decisions that they might not have otherwise made. It also created challenges for us at Ivy in helping women to still see the value of coming to us, even if it meant that they might see a heartbeat. Now, throughout the summer and in response to stricter abortion laws, we saw large corporations paying for the expenses of their employees to go out of state to obtain abortions. We've also seen very aggressive marketing for the mail-order chemical abortion pills, including the promotion of ways to get those illegally. We've also experienced the wrath of big tech as they have methodically censored pregnancy centers online, removing us from Google My Business while giving free priority search results to abortion facilities. In September, the Ohio Heartbeat Bill was temporarily blocked by a single judge in Hamilton County, reverting the abortion law in Ohio back to 21 weeks and 6 days. And in October, that block was extended to be indefinite until the case is heard by the Ohio Supreme Court. And today, the media and politicians continue to verbally attack and mislead the public about pregnancy centers, and they call for tighter restrictions and censorship. That's the bad news. But the good news is, God is bigger. Despite all of these challenges, God is still making a way for women to find and come to Ivy. We do believe that this is the heart of God in reaching these women. We do believe that this is God's plan. So regardless of what the enemy throws at us, we know that God is bigger, and this will continue to succeed at changing lives. Now, one of the questions that I get asked most often when I share about this is, how can I help? How can I get involved? I mentioned financial and prayer support, and those are both huge. And unfortunately, we don't have a ton of opportunities for volunteers at our center. But I want to share with you a little bit more about Emily's story that I think will highlight some additional ways that the community can help. As you heard, Emily went through our parenting program where she received so much more than parenting. She built relationship with Amy, our coach. And after having Aaliyah, sadly, at 17, Emily and Aaliyah were forced to leave their home. Because of her continuing relationship with Ivy, we were able to refer her to a program called Holding Time. Now, through this program, Emily and Aaliyah were placed in a home with a loving family who not only provided a roof over her head, over their heads, but they provided the life support that Emily needed to be able to finish school, to be able to get a job, to get her license, and to eventually find a place of their own. She was also connected to other community resources such as Birthright, who assisted her with material needs for Aaliyah. You see, Emily and Aaliyah's story may have began at Ivy. We often say that we're like the emergency room. We attend to the immediate need, which is the chaos and obstacles that they're experiencing, things that are leading them to believe that abortion is their only option. But once that is addressed, the chaos doesn't necessarily go away, even after they've chosen life. Pro-lifers are often accused of loving the baby in the womb, but not caring afterwards. We're accused of just being pro-baby and not pro-woman. I know that that's not true. Emily is a testament to that. We do love them both, and there is help available for both, but we can do more. We need to do more. While your continued support of Ivy is necessary, like I said, we are that emergency room, the first contact for the abortion-minded woman. There are also many other organizations that need your help as well. You heard me mention a couple of them, Holding Time and Birthright. These are amazing organizations that need your support as well. But another thing that I mentioned that you may not have, or that you may have missed, the family that took Emily in, I said they provided the life support, which enabled her to succeed in ways, in other ways as well. We need to not just provide funding and diapers and clothing. These things are great and needed. But we also need people that are actually willing to walk alongside of these women to help provide that life support. What does that look like? It looks like taking them to their doctor's appointments if they don't have a ride. It means helping them fill out a job application. It means riding them with them in the car as they're training to get their license. It means helping them apartment hunt. This is where we can make a huge difference as the body of Christ. Another organization is called Embrace Grace, and what they do is they help churches set up support groups for pregnant women and to have people in that church do exactly these kinds of things. I do have some brochures and flyers on some of these organizations as well as ours out in the back as well. I need places that I can call, people that I can call when a woman says yes to life and then she says, now what? I need more places that I can call with people that will come alongside of her. Together, by offering all of these services from that emergency room to that life support, we can reach women's hearts. We can make abortion unnecessary and unthinkable. Thank you.
Thank you, Luann. As we normally do when we have a guest speaker representing a ministry that we're partnered with, we like to open it up to the congregation. If you have any questions specifically on what we can be doing to help or how the center functions, an area that maybe she hasn't addressed or maybe she said something that sparked a question in you. I'm going to run to you and mic you so that the people that are listening live stream can also hear your question. So if you have a question, raise your hand, stand up for Luann.
So is that a program that you guys have started where there's, like, I guess, surrogate parents that take somebody in? I mean, I know there's Hannah's home mm-hmm. and all that
yeah.
too, but are you starting a program or is there already a program like that?
So what we want to do is so that we can keep our main thing the main thing and focus and do what we do and do it well, we like to form community partnerships. So we do partner with Hannah's Home. Unfortunately, in Emily's case, she was 17, so Hannah's Home, they have to be 18. So that's where this Holding Time program was a little bit more, you know, it fit the needs there. So, yeah, we try to build community partnerships. This program, Embrace Grace, is a program that we know about. It's not a program that we're specifically running, but in a program that I would like to encourage churches to maybe start up in their own congregation. So, again, it's like a small group, and there's information on the table in the back. But it's a pro-life group. It's a small group that you can invite pregnant women, single moms, to, and they get that support within that small group and that discipleship and you know, again, just that community support. So, again, it's building those community relationships that we're aware of that are in place.
Someone else?
When they first find out they're pregnant and they make that phone call, what is the next step? Do you talk to them right there? Are they referred to someone there? Is it like someone there always available to talk to them?
So we do answer our phones from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day of the year, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, every day. So there is somebody that will answer the phone. When they call, oftentimes they are looking for an abortion. We do market heavily to the abortion-minded women. That's not to manipulate. It's not to coerce. Again, we're very clear with them when they call. And even on Google actually has made it very difficult for anybody to even hide, even if we wanted to, the fact that we don't provide abortions. So when they call, often, again, if they say, I'm looking for an abortion, We do tell them we do not provide abortions, we do not provide referrals for abortion, but here are the services that we provide, and here's why they are necessary for you. So we go through the fact that we offer the ultrasounds and the testing and the fact that the services are free. So, you know, if they go to an abortion clinic to get that ultrasound, they're going to have to pay for that. If they're miscarrying, that's not even a necessary thing for them to do. So it's trying to help them to see the value and coming and getting the services. And there are some women that say, no, thank you. I just want to go have the abortion. But we are very clear. We don't want it to be about manipulation. So then we'll make the appointment. Oftentimes we're able to make that appointment the same day or the next day. Right now, so we are open. We've been open Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. We just recently dropped Wednesdays temporarily because we're actually in need of another patient advocate. And if you'd like more information on that, I can share that as well. But so we need a little bit more help and staff-wise to be open those 4 days. So, but like I said, oftentimes we're able to get her in right away, and so she comes in. She has those services. Again, just as I explained, she talks to an advocate who explains all of her options and does it in an unbiased, non-judgmental way.
What is your approximate amount of people, phone calls per day? Is it a lot of them? Average, you know, amount?
Yeah, so typically, so again, we've been experiencing some challenges with Google, so we haven't been as busy, but on average, we see about 5 patients a day that come in. Call-wise, on average, I would say anywhere from 8 to 12 calls, but we also get email leads as well, so probably another 5 to 10 email leads that we would get. So, but again, Google is doing their best to keep us from showing up, and so we really need prayers for that. I know God has the answer to that. We spend almost $7,000 a month. Just that goes directly to Google for advertising. Unfortunately, that's where the women are, so that's where we have to give that money to, but now it makes it more difficult to spend that money knowing that they're censoring us.
An observation that I would like to share. When I was involved in helping to start Alterniterm years ago in the 80s and 90s, we maybe had one executive director. Everybody else was volunteers, and the money would go for rent. But I've noticed that in the decades that have followed, things have changed. And in seeing Ivy, they're trying to run this in a very professional way, and it's needed. So a lot of the monies are going towards staff and mm-hmm. Google, whereas we did not have to deal with that years ago. And I'm sure with trying to get volunteers in there, it's challenging, although there's a different need, I realize. But we've made a commitment here at the church. Our monthly support annually, we were giving $1,200 a year previously. Mm-hmm. Starting in January, we were doubling that, and we're going to be giving $2,400 a month. And these ministries need this to be able to hire out, to have this professionally done so they can reach people. There's many obstacles, as Luann has mentioned, to the ministries. So we don't want to just feel like as churches and Christians we're throwing money at you, but finances are needed. And but we also talk a lot about, okay, what can we as Christians do besides giving money and praying? Is there other opportunities? Could you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah, honestly, so the volunteer opportunities that we have at Ivy, we do, like I said, we offer parenting coaches, and that is volunteer. We do have people that come on site on the days that we're open, and they pray on site in a separate room, and that's invaluable. We do have cleaning teams that come to keep the place clean. The discipleship program is volunteer. But again, there's not a ton of volunteer opportunities. I think coming alongside, like I said, being a source that I can call and I can say, you know, I have this woman that needs help. She needs somebody to give her a ride. She needs, and to have those, obviously we need to make sure that people are vetted and all of that kind right. of stuff as well, but to have those additional resources that we can offer to her, I think is big. And just if I can, just real quick to speak to the staff. You know, I mean, this is a ministry, and I'll be honest, none of us are getting rich working there. But we do try to honor the fact that we do have RNs there, and we do have a licensed sonographer doing the ultrasound. This is, and it is a very difficult job for many of them to carry the burdens that they're carrying and stuff. So we do want to honor them by paying them. But again, it's not, you know, it's within reason too. And you know, I know that many of them can go to Walmart or they can go to McDonald's and probably make more money, honestly, than what they're making there. But we do have 12 people on staff. So, you know, just to speak to that.
Maybe one or two other questions before we close, if there is any. No? Okay. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Luann, for speaking
you.
And for updating us on Ivy. Close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we as Christians and as churches in this area can partner with Ivy. And Lord, we see the battle is very real and it's very intense. We need you and we look to you, Lord God. We put our trust in you. We thank you for putting this on the heart of Luann and others to be able to serve and minister in this way. Please continue to show us as a church how we can come up alongside and assist and help. We continue to pray, Lord God, for your kingdom to come, for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for your protection over Ivy Women's Center and all the staff that's working there, Lord God. Be our front guard, be their rear guard, Lord, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.